because it's a very taboo subject. You know, I say you don't have a conversation that uses the G word at work, gender, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. People don't want to talk about it. Women don't want to bring it up because it makes it look like we're asking for some type of special privilege. Men don't want to bring it up because it's like, oh my God, feminist, you know, what's, you know, burning yeah. your bras, whatever, right? So people just, what do? They don't talk about it at all. And I think that's the problem.
Welcome to season 11 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode. I am excited you're here. And today we get to cover a topic that I am extremely passionate about. I think one of the biggest opportunities for organizations is to have more diversity of thought in the room, both gender and race. And we get to cover that this week with Elba Pareja Gallagher. She is the Director of Finance of Global B2C Strategy at UPS, and she is the founder of ShowMe50.org, an organization working to close the gender gap one organization at a time. And I'm really excited. You're going to get to learn not only a little bit about strategy, specifically Blue and Red Ocean Strategy, which is how I originally met and heard Elba, but then we get to the hard-hitting questions around the stereotypes that exist between men and women in the workplace, what's the state of women in the workplace, and then what we all can do, both men and women, to talk about gender at work and influence change in a positive manner. I can't wait for you to listen to this hard-hitting episode with my friend Elba Pareja Gallagher. Well, Elba, thanks for being on the show.
So glad to be here. Well, excited to be in Charlotte.
I saw you present this morning on some ideas around Blue Ocean Strategy, and we've yet to have someone on the show to really talk about strategy holistically. We've been talking about leadership in terms of leading people. Give us just a little background, the fact that you've been a part of UPS for some time now, a little bit of your professional journey as a woman in an executive leadership role.
Sure. And of course, I have to say there's a disclaimer, right? I'm here as an individual representing my own opinions and views.
Right.
But yeah, so my career, my experience has been a long sort of lattice approach. I've worked in finance, I've worked in marketing, doing some strategy. All of those experiences have led me to think differently and see things from different points of view, including I worked overseas in Asia. And so that gave me all sorts of interesting observations to learn from.
Well, you mentioned finance and marketing, and you know, most people tend to stick in one area of expertise, and that hasn't been your path. Why did you choose that path?
You know, I think a lot of times we don't choose our paths. I didn't, per se. I just raised my hand and went where things looked interesting. Now, that's kind of a double-edged sword, because a lot of the professional environment works sort of more in linear mindset, where you start at the bottom and work your way up,
like a ladder,
right? But my approach has turned out to be more like a lattice, where it's sort of climbing sideways and upwards and sideways. So it's been great in one way, but it's been challenging in others, because I haven't been able to build sort of a network that's vertical. And sometimes advancement happens vertically.
Were there people or mentors or in your career that kind of coached you to go, or the just things that you saw and opportunities in the business?
You know, I think that all our successes can't be all our own. And so certainly along the way, I've had great coaches and mentors and people who gave me good advice. But to a certain extent, your own individual personality and your drive creates your opportunity. So it was a lot of me driving and constantly trying to figure out where are the blue oceans from a career perspective, you know. And that's kind of what led me to Asia, was, you know, I saw that's where growth was. So, you know.
So you went there.
Yeah, so I took a chance and did it.
Well, when I saw you present this morning around this idea of red ocean and blue ocean strategies, I'm familiar with it, but some people might not be.
Mm-hmm.
How did, one, you come across this idea and the work that has been done around this? What got you so interested in it? And then just give a little bit of background of what it is.
Sure. So most of my career was spent in a traditional finance path, reporting, accounting type, you know, closing the books, and analyzing the results. So when I got an assignment in a marketing strategy area, I was new and I had to go figure it out. So I started trying to research it on my own and figure out, well, what are the different ways to think about strategy? And I came across Blue Ocean Strategy. And when I read that book, it just really spoke to me because it's about thinking differently, thinking uniquely. And it was a very methodical approach. And I like when there's a framework that you can really plug into. And that spoke to me personally. And so that's where it all started. And I've been a huge fan ever since. And to sum it up, you know, think of a red ocean as a market full of intense competition where everyone is, you know, cutthroat about price and just so much competition that the waters get bloody from, mm-hmm. from that deep, you know, competition there is. Blue oceans, on the other hand, of course, are clear market spaces where you're basically writing your own rules, and that's where you get the better margins because no one is competing against you yet. And so the idea is coming up with those blue ocean ideas through a construct of 15 tools and frameworks that sort of teach you how to think differently. Two of my favorites that we covered this morning was non-customers, right? And that's the idea that instead of focusing just on who your current customers are and what you need to serve them, you need to think about who's not your customer and why are they not your customer outside the boundaries of your own industry. And outside even the functions of whatever product you're producing, you know, you got to think like a non-customer to really find those blue ocean spaces. And then the other one we talked about was really value innovation and how do you create both low cost and high value that's profitable for your organization. And really that's all about eliminating and reducing the things that people aren't willing to pay for and creating and adding things that people are willing to pay for. But the key to all that, as we talked about, is you got to get those ideas going. And how do you get those ideas? You need everyone and your team to be contributing, right? How do you include everyone and techniques for engaging your team?
And one of the questions I asked, which I think is so important in the grand scheme of the future of all of our businesses and teams, is that in the past, you kind of had a hierarchical approach to leadership. You had one person that made all the decisions. They might take input from people, but at the end of the day, they were the decision maker. As I've seen leadership change and progress in modern organizations, I've found the very best organizations are making decisions where the information is. Meaning, and I tell this story all the time, I went into Chick-fil-A with my two kids, and they were weaving through my legs, and the line was so long, and I got up there with my gift certificate, and she looked at me after I ordered and said, this gift certificate has expired. And of course, as a dad without my wife there, it was just a mess. But she saw this. This 16-year-old girl saw this. And she looked at me and she said, we're going to accept this gift card one time.
Wow.
She didn't turn around and ask her manager, right? She just said she saw the information in front of her and she made the best decision possible. Now that doesn't happen without her leader empowering her to make those types of decisions and to think outside the box, to be looking at the situation. I think the same comes here. How does a leader, number one, get his people, his or her people, to be more innovative and to know that their opinion matters? And then number on the flip side of the coin, someone that's on a team, what can they do to bring these ideas to bear for a leader that's willing to listen?
Yeah. You know, I think it's all about communication. We can just tell our people, these are the things that we value and that we expect, right? That we want your opinion, that we need different ideas to create that environment where they feel included. And we talked this morning, right? What are mm-hmm. the ways that, some of the ways that you can do that? You know, it starts with just educating and, you know, preparing for meetings and letting people know, hey, these are the ground rules for the meeting. you know, in the past, maybe the same people talked over and over, but from now on, we're going to create an environment where we get ideas from everyone, because we don't just want to talk about the common knowledge that everyone has, but we want to find unique knowledge that maybe some of you have that we haven't talked about before. So it's about talking about it, I think, is key, is just letting your people know that this is the type of team that we're going to lead. And in fact, this reminds me, Blue Ocean Strategy has another component called Blue Ocean Leadership. And Blue Ocean Leadership is thinking about who's not buying your leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Why are they not buying your leadership? Is your employee engagement survey not as good? Has morale seemed low? Let's go figure out, why are they not my customer in mm-hmm. terms of leadership, yeah. right? And how do they want to be led? You know, what do you want to have happen? Contribute to deciding how we're going to organize our leadership approach at this, you know, group, team, organization.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it, it's just simple communication, frankly, right? Telling people how you're going to lead, laying it out. That's what creates level playing fields, when there's transparency and people know what's expected, and then, you know, they're going to be included.
One of the more staggering things I heard this morning that I'm not sure many people caught, which is the fact that a man and a woman can say, essentially have these similar ideas in a meeting, and the percentages of people that believe the man's opinion is greater than the woman's.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I explained that perfectly, but
you did an excellent job.
But so to me, that was an eye-opening statistic to know that you could have similar ideas and you're just simply taken more seriously because you're a man versus a woman. Why is that such a problem?
You know, that's why I started my nonprofit organization, right? I started ShowMe50.org because for my entire career, I see the same behavior continuing. And there's a lot of blind spots. People just don't see it. Just like you describe, we all don't realize what's really happening until we are educated about it, right? And so, in that video we watched, it's about when somebody has unique information and they aren't already associated with being the expert, the dominant, you know, member, whether it's in hierarchy or gender or position, their opinion is going to be discounted. And so that certainly affects gender because of things well beyond what we control in our workplace. You know, it's the societal norms,
right.
The things that children learn from very early ages, even today, that there are stereotypes about what's traditionally women's work and women's capability versus men's. And quite frankly, men still run corporate America, right? That's what statistics show. And so I think people just believe that those opinions carry more weight because in the hierarchical structure, you know,
the way it's
always been done.
Well,
and so it's this unconscious
yeah.
bias that happens. That's the mm-hmm. tough stuff that we really just need to talk about. There's a great study that just came out. It's the McKinsey & Company, consulting company,
yep.
combined with Lean In, produced their annual Woman in the Workplace survey. It just came out October 10th. And it's a great summary of some concrete statistics around what's really happening that can help men and women talk about these things and figure out how we solve them. And one of them is transparency, what we just
right.
talked about. Just telling people, what are the expectations and how do you get to point from A to B? You know,
yeah.
These are the rules.
I think I learned there's a similar problem when it exists with race.
Yes.
And I heard a story at one point about two fish, young fish, swimming in water. And an older fish came by and he said to the two fish, "Boy, isn't the water cold today?" And then the older fish swam away. And the two younger fish looked at each other and they said, "What water? What water?" And they were making the analogy of white people being unaware of the privilege of it is to be white. And it always resonated with me, and I think the analogy is the same when it comes to men in the business environment. It could be white men, it doesn't matter, just men versus women. Sometimes we don't understand necessarily the either built-in advantages that we might have just because of our sex.
Yeah.
And that analogy is something that always kind of stood out to me.
Yeah.
What can women do and what can men do to be better prepared or to set people up for higher levels of success? Because we know some of those gender biases still exist and are not going to change until our kids are taught differently.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Just kind of curious your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. So to me, it starts with transparency and communication. Just having the conversation mm-hmm. about, just like you and I are having right here. We don't have all the answers, but let's talk about, you know, how we're feeling and what we experience in the workplace differently. And, you know, just talking about it is the very first step.
Yeah.
And a great way to talk about it is to use articles that are published in the news, online, and social media as a catalyst for a conversation with your peers at work. Because it's a very taboo subject. You know, I say you don't have a conversation that uses the G word at work, gender, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. People don't want to talk about it. Women don't want to bring it up because it makes it look like we're asking for some type of special privilege. Men don't want to bring it up because it's like, oh my God, feminist, you know, what's, you know, burning yeah. your bras, whatever, right? So people just, what do? They don't talk about it at all. And I think that's the problem. So for example, when Google fired the guy, I call him the Google guy,
remember that, for his
opinions. You know, I wrote a blog on that on LinkedIn. Those are great opportunities to have a water cooler talk as a baby step about, hey, well, what do you think about this? Just start talking about it. But more concretely, because that McKinsey study just came out, I'm going to read you the things that they say, right? Number one, make a compelling case for gender diversity. The organization has to talk about it and say, hey, this is a business reason. We need more ideas. We're not optimizing our workforce when you're only using 50% of it to its fullest potential.
Right.
Right. Number two, invest in more employee training. And it's not watching a video on unconscious bias. It's gender bias training specifically to talk about these issues.
Right.
Right. Another great tool is use this McKinsey study that just came out. You know, it's free, print it, discuss it with your teams. That would be an amazing first step. Pass it around amongst your teams and say, hey, we're going to talk about this over coffee next time we meet. Number three, ensure hiring and promotions and interviews are fair. Number four, give employees the flexibility to fit work into their lives, which is really interesting. We need work-life balance, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's working differently these days. Both men and women need the flexibility to work differently. And then lastly, focus on accountability and results. Now, what business person can't go with that one? Focus on accountability and results, right? If you know that your workforce is sub-optimized because you're missing out on the talent of the women part of the workforce, why wouldn't you hold people accountable and say, hey, something must be wrong when we have all these women and somehow there's very few of them at the top?
Yeah.
Right? How do we make that better?
Well, I love those five, and we'll make sure to link to that in the show notes. Let's end on some fun stuff. You get to give one bit of advice to our audience after thinking back to your career. What one bit of advice would you give to our audience today?
Okay, I'm going to do two.
Okay.
You can Number one is I'm a servant leader, and I think that I wish at the beginning of my career I had thought of things more from the servant point of view. How can I serve others? How can I serve the people I work with, my peers, and the people that I may supervise to help empower them, to help give them the tools that they need, to make them feel like they can grow and feel good about themselves? So it'd be to how can I be a servant leader rather than just thinking about accumulating power and executing power for my own.
Right.
Right. And then the second piece for new people in their careers is networking. You have got to build a network. That's another thing I never did early on in my career, and I just could kick myself, right? Both internally and externally, you need to build relationships without asking people for anything. Just learn and see how you can help them and have that mutual relationship. It pays dividends in the future.
Well, those are two incredible pieces of advice, and we're so appreciative for you making the time. Where can people learn more about the foundation?
Showme50.org.
Showme50.org.
Yep. And again, we are engaging men and women in how to talk about gender at work in a way that's collaborative, but influences change, because those five things that McKinsey published, that's what we're saying too. You've got to work on those.
Well, we will certainly point people to the right place. Thank you so much for taking the time.
This has been terrific.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Follow My Lead podcast. It would mean a great deal to us if you would share this episode with your friends or your colleagues, anyone that you think could help develop and grow as a leader, which in my estimation is everyone. So until next time, be a good leader at home and at work.